taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. Today we're focusing on the due process clauses. Now, you may be familiar with the due process amendments. We're going to focus on the two clauses in the Constitution that deal specifically with due process. I've been talking a lot recently about the due process clauses in the 5th and 14th Amendments. Why? Because they seem to be lost in the noise created by our current legal climate. I thought it would be a good time to dive deeper into these two clauses, both so we can understand them and to see how they are being violated, even if the judiciary does not. Before we examine these clauses more deeply, we should really have a strong grasp on what due process is. Made up of two words, you would think it's a quite simple definition. However, small and simple are not necessarily related. From Webster's 1828 dictionary, we read that due is what you're owed. That ought to be paid or done to another. And process is a proceeding or moving forward. So due process is a proceeding that ensures what is owed, what must be paid or done to the other. Now, if you don't find that definition very helpful, I don't disagree, which is why I like to use the definition of the phrase from the Free Legal Dictionary. An established court for judicial proceedings or other governmental activities designed to safeguard the legal rights of the individual. Now, the 4th through 8th Amendments of the Bill of Rights are referred to as the Due Process Amendments because they are designed to safeguard your legal rights as an individual. Everything from reasonable searches and warrants to protections against excessive bail or fines are included in these amendments. While not the sum total of the protection of your rights, these amendments were created as part of the Bill of Rights specifically to protect the rights most likely to be infringed upon by governments. And right there in the 5th Amendment is its due process clause. No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Now, the 5th Amendment includes so many protections. The requirement of a grand jury for indictment for capital or infamous crimes, and protections against double jeopardy and self-witness are all included in this one amendment. However, it seems that of the last two, the due process and taking clauses, everyone focuses on the latter to the detriment of their own case. The 5th Amendment, along with its counterpart in the 14th, which specifically applies to the states, requires that before you are deprived of life, liberty, or property, there must be due process of law, meaning that before you can be deprived of these things, government not only has to follow a process that protects your individual rights, but it has the burden of proof that you are being deprived of them for a lawful cause. The government isn't allowed to simply declare that something is an emergency and deprive you of your rights. Unfortunately, that is exactly what has been happening for the last 18 months. Government actors claim there's an emergency and that it gives them the right to deprive you of your life, your liberty, and your property without even claiming that you are a danger to others, much less actually proving it. And because the American people are so ignorant of both the Constitution and their rights, most of them went right along with the tyranny. Not only did many Americans comply with these orders, many seemed to make it their mission to bully others into compliance as well. When those in government couldn't get around the laws directly, they got businesses and corporations to do it for them. And during all of this, most of the American people sat back and did little more than complain, if even that. In short, due process was effectively thrown out the window while the American people either watched or helped. Now, when I first started studying the Constitution, I wondered why the framers listed these three items in the Due Process Clause. Why not include rights or freedom? What was so important about these three things that they should be protected so? Then, as I studied them, I realized just how overarching this clause truly is. Of the three, life is probably the easiest to describe. We all know that if something is breathing and has a heartbeat, it is alive. And since no one on earth can return your life to you, it is important that it be protected. That is why I believe that life is included in the due process clauses. If you can have your life taken away by a process that doesn't protect your rights, well, what are liberty and property worth without your life? Now, we've all seen reports about the conviction of Derek Chauvin for the death of George Floyd. Whatever the charge, Mr. Chauvin was found by a jury of his peers to have deprived George Floyd of his life in a process that did not protect his individual rights. This judgment has led to Mr. Chauvin being deprived of his liberty. This, however, was done with due process of law, meaning Mr. Chauvin's individual rights were protected. Now, if you ask most people to describe liberty, I think what you'll find is more like, I'm not sure, but I'd recognize it when I see it, than a real definition. See, when I wrote my book, I decided I needed to do some research to come to a real, workable definition of liberty. I started with Webster's 1828 dictionary. Liberty, freedom from restraint in a general sense and applicable to the body or to the will or mind. To start with, liberty is freedom from restraint of any kind, the freedom to both think and act as you like. Now, it doesn't take much imagination to see how this could quickly turn into a real mess. If I do what I want and you do what you want, what happens when our wants conflict? Liberty would quickly devolve into the biggest, the strongest, or most influential getting what they want to the detriment of everyone else. What would happen if I had the freedom to take your wallet, your car, or your cell phone, or if you had the freedom to take mine? See, this general liberty or anarchy has to be tempered by something. Now, back to the 1828 dictionary. Natural liberty consists in the power of acting as one thinks fit without any restraint or control except from the laws of nature. So general liberty is tempered by natural liberty, the power to act as one thinks fit, restrained only by the laws of nature. What are these laws of nature? They are the laws so obvious that a sane person doesn't need to have them written down. I like to summarize them as, we don't hurt people and we don't take their stuff. But what about things that are not part of natural law? Again, from the 1828 dictionary, civil liberty is the liberty of men in a state of society or natural liberty so far only abridged and restrained as is necessary and expedient for the safety and interests of the society, state, or nation. Civil liberty only places restraints on natural liberty as is necessary or expedient for the safety and interests of society. But there are two very important questions we need to ask here. First, who determines what is necessary and expedient for society? And second, how do they prove it? So we get an idea of how to answer those questions in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Since the role of government is to secure our rights, not to define them, and since governments get their just powers from our consent, then it cannot be government who determines what is necessary and expedient for society. Instead, we the people are supposed to determine what is necessary and expedient for the safety and interests of society. Otherwise, government is exercising powers we have not consented to and are therefore unjust. See, it's more than that, though. Since it's not enough for government or society to simply state, we need this, there has to be some proof. And that's exactly what's been missing around the world the last 18 months. We were presented with doom and gloom predictions of millions dead from a deadly disease, only to find the death rate is a small fraction of what was predicted. But don't worry, the same people who first claimed that masks wouldn't work suddenly claimed they were essential to stopping the spread. These same people proclaimed that vaccines would prevent you from getting sick, then when that turned out to be untrue, that it would only mitigate the symptoms. Of course, these are the same people who are claiming that you need to follow their mandates without any evidence of their effectiveness because they are the experts. It seems we've forgotten that even experts can be and often are wrong, which is why it's so important that we require governments to follow due process before they are allowed to deprive us of anything. Now, what happens when restraints are put on our liberty that are not proven to be necessary for the safety and expediency of society? Well, according to Noah Webster's dictionary, A restraint of natural liberty not necessary or expedient for the public is tyranny or oppression. When we allow restraints on natural liberty not necessary or expedient for the public, whether that be by governments, businesses, or neighbors, what we have is tyranny. Yes, public masks and vaccine mandates are illegal and must be challenged. Also, while many private mandates may be legal, that doesn't make them moral. If someone you do business with, where you work or go to school or a place, any place else, mandates you take actions without proving the need for it, that is tyranny. Think about that the next time you walk into a business and see that mask required sign, or your employer tells you you must get vaccinated. Ask yourself, will you trade your essential liberty for what has proven to be a false promise of safety? As Benjamin Franklin said, they who would give up an essential liberty for temporary security deserve neither liberty nor security. See, if liberty is the least understood of the rights protected by the Due Process Clause, then property is the most misunderstood. I think it's because we use the word property in our everyday lives. We have real property and personal property, which I think leads us to believe that property is stuff. But is that the limits of property? James Madison wrote an essay on property for the National Gazette, published on March 27, 1792, where he said, "Property. This term in its particular application means that dominion which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion to every other individual. In its larger and juster meaning, it embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage." If we think of property as what we attach value to and have exclusive control over, well, then property becomes a very interesting right after all. Sure, you have a property in your home, your car, and even your phone. You also have a property in what you say, what you think, and even what you believe. You have a property in your body and in your liberty. You have a property in your business, in your ability to work. In short, you have a property not only in what you own, but in who you are. As James Madison put it, in a word, a man is said to have a right to his property. He may be equally said to have a property in his rights. Yes, this right to property is not only ignored today, but it seems everyone from corporations, pundits, and average Americans are just as ready to deprive you of it as politicians, judges, and bureaucrats. How often have our rights to property been denied while some legal eagles debate whether it's a violation of the Takings Clause or some other esoteric opinion of some previous judge? The sad truth is, I cannot remember the last time I heard a case in federal court that actually argued a deprivation of rights without due process. Yet if your body, your faculties, your abilities, and the very essence of who you are is your property, what are you willing to do when you're deprived of them? So why do I focus so much on these due process clauses? Because it is being violated almost every day at some level within the United States. From mask and vaccine mandates to eviction moratoria to lockdowns to declarations of essential businesses, these are deprivations of either liberty or property without due process of law. And that's not all. Healthcare laws, vehicle standards, toilet standards, light bulb standards, forced collections of union dues, even the political primaries are designed to deprive you of your life, liberty, or property, and they're all being done without due process of law. Now, I cannot count the number of people who have asked my advice about a due process clause case, only to find out their legal advocates haven't even considered the subject. All the more reason we need to educate ourselves about our rights and how they can be protected by the Constitution of the United States. I believe this is why John Jay said every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. Not simply so we can defend our rights, but so we can help others defend them as well. So when we see rights being violated, we understand not only our rights, but our duty to help the victim. And so we can assist in the defense of others, both legal and societal. Now that you have a better understanding of the due process clauses, what do you intend to do with this knowledge? Will you simply file it away as one more piece of data that you never plan on using? Or will you use it to help that child being masked, the employee being told to get vaccinated if they wish to keep their job, or the small business owner being bullied by some government official to give up their rights in order to stay in business? Will you stand up and come to the defense of those being intimidated by government or society? Or will you turn your head in shame and wait patiently for your turn to be deprived? As James Madison said, if the United States means to obtain or deserve the full praise due to wise and just governments, they must equally respect the rights of property and the property and rights. They will rival the governments that most sacredly guard the former, and by repelling its examples and violating the latter, will make themselves a pattern to that and all other governments. The United States, and in fact all of the states, will only obtain such praise when we the people demand it. Will we the people fulfill the promise of our pledge of allegiance to our flag, with liberty and justice for all? So hopefully you see why I spend so much time focused on the due process clauses in both the Fifth and 14th Amendments. The very idea of requiring due process before you're deprived of something is the cornerstone of freedom and liberty. And the fact that these are not only infringed upon, but routinely ignored, well, that's a problem. Because as we've seen in the last 18 months, when government can deprive you of your liberty and your property, what's to stop them from depriving you of your life? When due process becomes an afterthought, an add-on, a we'll do it if we can, what good are your rights? Even when we see courts saying that governments can infringe on your rights as long as they show they have a good reason, well, what good are your rights if government gets to control them, if they're not truly unalienable rights? And really, the worst thing about the violations of the due process clauses comes down to this idea that government believes, those in government believe, they can simply dictate a situation as dangerous, therefore deprive you of your rights. Now, I was watching someone, an interview with some medical weenie, and they were talking about the need to mandate vaccines and understanding, well, why don't people trust, and he was asking, why don't people trust the CDC and the FDA anymore? He's like, well, you know, that's science. No. See, the problem many of us have is that they aren't using science. Science begins with a question, an uncertainty. Yet what we've been dealing with the last 18 months are assertions that have proven false. For example, first we were told the vaccine would keep you from getting sick. It would stop the spread of the disease. And at that, it has failed miserably. Then we were told, well, you know, it's 95% effective at reducing the symptoms and prevent and reducing hospitalizations. Well, except now studies show that it's not 97%, it's not 95%, it's more like 75%. See, that's what happens when we don't require governments to prove that they've got a need for society, that this is the way to do things, that we allow them to deprive our rights simply because they say this will work without any proof. Now, whether or not you get vaccinated, that's not my point. My point is, what does government have to do before they can write a civil law that infringes on your natural liberty? Whether it's the CDC calling for more mandates or Biden creating a mandate for all military personnel. He's infringing on their rights. Now, yes, when you enter the military, you voluntarily give up many of your rights. But even federal law recognizes the requirement that before government can mandate that you get a vaccine in the military, it has to have passed all the FDA testing, which none of them have. Yes, the FDA has approved but one of the vaccines, but as I understand it, it hasn't completed all of the clinical trials. There's a reason why that's in the law. But yet they want to deprive you of your liberty, of control of your own property. And they're saying because we need to, but they're providing no evidence. All they're providing is the word of experts. Experts that's been proven to be wrong over and over and over and over again. Now, I have no problem with scientists being wrong. I have problems with the arrogance of believing we have to believe them when they've proven themselves to be wrong. But yet that's where we stand. And yet in all the cases I've followed and read and dealt with on dealing with, you know, mask mandates and vaccine mandates and lockdowns and shutdowns, almost never have I seen people talk about the deprivation of liberty and the deprivation of property without due process of law. And if you can be deprived of your life, your liberty, your property without due process, what good are those rights? How do you have liberty if it can be taken away from you without a process designed to protect your individual rights? And when it can't be done by government, what happens when the corporations and businesses or governments just bully businesses into giving up their rights in order to retain some license or other permit issued by the government? So that's why I say liberty and justice in America is in serious trouble. I'm not saying we don't have any liberty, but I'm watching it diminish day by day, it seems. To the point now where even going to a store, I'm waiting for them to say, you have to either show you've been vaccinated or wear a mask. All this because this idea of due process, of protecting the rights of individuals, has been lost. The very concept of freedom is being lost in America today. And it's we, the American people, that are allowing it to happen. So I found this article about a nurse, name hidden, in Orange County, California. Apparently this nurse is some sort of supervisor level. They overlook an acute care floor. And they've got staff crying because they're pregnant and they don't want to take the vaccine because there have been no studies of what vaccines do to pregnant women or their children. You see, we have the state issuing these crazy vet mandates, and they're not based in science. They're based on the reactions of bureaucrats with medical degrees. They're not proving that these are necessary or effective. Remember the definition of liberty. Civil liberty is only liberty when it is necessary for society, when it's essential for society. Well, where's the necessity? Where's the necessity of taking a drug that hasn't been fully tested? And how did Mr. Webster define a law that was not necessary for society? Tyranny and oppression. And it is widespread in much of the United States. It is saddeningly widespread. You kind of expect it in, you know, communist states like California, New York, Michigan, even Minnesota. But more and more, I'm seeing it not from these governments, but from businesses. Now, while businesses have the right to control entry to their property, I don't deny that. The American people are still willing to do business with people, with corporations and with business owners that are ready to destroy their rights, to deprive them of their liberty and their property without due process of law, without a process that protects their rights, without any proof or evidence that this is necessary. Yet we still do business with them. Well, some do. I won't. My wife and I just earlier today had to go to an office to get a lab to get some blood work drawn. And I had already told my doctor, I says, this lab still has their signs up or still is enforcing their mask mandate. We're going somewhere else. I refuse to do business with a lab that, so, you know, as late as earlier this summer, still had a mask mandate in place. And I said, that's it. We'll find someplace else. I will not do business with them. Interestingly enough, we got there today and they still had mask signs up, mask required for service. We just refused to wear it, and no one said a thing. Which means those signs show the hypocrisy. See, if they really thought that masks would save their life, they would not let me in the door without a mask. They know better. It's just their corporation intimidating, acting like a tyrant, either because They've been fooled by the bureaucrats with the medical degrees. Of course, they're afraid that some government bureaucrat will take away their license. The very idea that you need a license to enter some businesses is anathema to liberty. You're telling me I need permission from the government to go into business? I need permission from the state of Tennessee to collect sales tax. To do that, I had to get a business license and pay not one, but two forms of business tax. Now, if the state of Tennessee wants to come to me and say, Paul, we're going to pull your business license because we don't like what you've been talking about, or we don't like the fact that you don't wear a mask when you show up. Well, too bad. Then I just won't collect sales tax for them, but I'll still do business. Because I don't need their permission to do business. I have a right to do business. I have a property in the outcome of my labor and my ability to sell it. And we need to start thinking of states and even businesses that will not protect your rights as unworthy of our business. I've been telling small business owners for months now, I says, you want to do business, here's what you do. You get to put a big sign in your window. We respect your rights. No mask, no vaccine, no problem. Come on in. That's where I'd go. I spent almost 2 weeks on the road. If I'm driving through a town looking for lunch, and I see a big old fat chain store that I know is just as likely to infringe on my rights as anything else, and I see a mom and pop with that sign in the window, guess where I'm going to lunch? By the way, I see a whole row of chain stores. I see one of those stores with that sign in the window. That's where I want to go. I want to go where people protect my rights, not where people infringe on my rights. I want to go where people are concerned about due process, not where people throw it away and trample it as an inconvenience. But I'm not going to sit around and wait for some government bureaucrat to give me my due process. No, it's mine. I demand it, and I have every right to demand it. And it's time the American people start protecting their own rights, because the idiots we've hired to protect our rights in government are failures. They're, for the most part, they're cowards, they're ignorant, some of them are even criminal. Why do we trust them? No, it's time for us to trust in ourselves to protect our own rights. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind you to check out healthycell.com/outloud. Healthy Cells come up with a better way of dealing with vitamins, a pill-free vitamin. That's right, simple travel-ready gel pack. They have several different formulas. You can do the REM sleep. You know, if you're like me, when I travel, I have a hard time getting to sleep. REM sleep makes you drowsy, helps you go to sleep, helps you get a deep, full night's sleep so you can wake up refreshed. And again, it's just a simple travel pack. It's not pills you're taking. They're very easy to use, very easy to take. My wife absolutely loves the REM sleep because she's always had much more of a problem sleeping than I do. But as an America Out Loud listener, you'll get 20% off your first order just by going to healthycell.com/outloud. So give them a try. Try any of their products. But today, I'm recommending the REM sleep. Give it a try and see if it doesn't help you sleep so you can be rested, awake, and ready to join the day. Again, that's healthycell.com/outloud.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's healthycell.com, healthycell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today, we're talking about the due process clauses and the importance of making sure that due process is followed, that before you're deprived of anything, a process that protects your individual rights has been followed. And that is what that's been missing through this entire COVID fiasco. We have rights being deprived, your liberty being deprived, your property being deprived, all without due process. And we've all been told it's important because it's an emergency. Well, an emergency is all the more reason that we have to protect our rights via due process. See, if those in government or even those in businesses and corporations can simply say, this is an emergency, so we're going to ignore your rights, well, then what good are your rights? They're no longer unalienable. And we have this going on day after day as a clarion call that, well, we must do this. It's to keep people safe. It's to keep people healthy. We've got to do this. But as William Pitt the Younger said back in 1783, necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. Well, it has been used to infringe on our freedom for 18 months. You have to wear a mask because you got to keep people safe. Where's your proof that it does? Oh, we don't need proof. We've got experts that say so. You have to take take the vaccine. That's what's needed to keep us safe. Well, where's your proof? We don't need proof. We have experts. And every time the goalposts move and we say, well, listen, why should we trust you? Because you keep changing the goalposts. They say, well, you have to trust us. We're the experts. It's necessity. We have to do this. That's the cry of tyrants. It's the creed of slaves. And I find that particular quote very interesting because it shows both sides of what I've been talking about. This cry that is necessary has always been used to infringe on our rights and our freedom. So I'm not surprised to see tyrants arguing that it's a necessity, whether that be in Washington, D.C., or in your state house, or in your county courthouse, or in your city hall. When people say it's a necessity, I don't demand proof, it's a necessity. We don't need due process, it's a nuisance, it's a necessity. That is the argument of tyrants. It always has been. It's the red flag that warns you this is not a just power, that this is not actually necessary for society. If it was necessary, well, sure, is your evidence. Prove it. As I was debating with somebody, they said, well, we don't understand why people don't take people must be forced to take the vaccine. I said, if it's such a great vaccine, if it is so wonderful, why do you have to coerce people to take it? We don't think about that. So this cry of necessity, yes, it is the argument of tyrants, but it's also the creed of slaves, which tells me an awful lot about the American people, that they have become slaves. They've been enslaved by this cult of expert, by the powers of government. So when the Philadelphia School Board votes to require a vaccination for all employees. They're using the cry of necessity as their excuse for being tyrants. And those who go along are following the creed of slaves. We must do it because it's necessary. Where, oh, where is the due process? Where is the process that protects the rights of the individual? They're missing. Because the American people stopped demanding it. We kept thinking someone else would do it for us. Well, that's a farce. That's a pipe dream. Oh, sure, I'm sure there were days when those in government saw their role as protecting your rights. Those days are long gone. If you want to protect your rights, it's up to you. So when I see things like the January 6th committee and they're searching for social media records, they want social media companies to hand over records on people they're trying to investigate. They want telecommunications company to turn over records of opponents' phone records. Interesting. They want the GOP phone records. Again, if civil liberty is your natural liberty restrained only by the necessity of society, where's the necessity? Where's the due process that says before you can search somebody, you must have probable cause supported by oath or affirmation? Where are the warrants? Now, let's face it. I don't expect these social media telecom companies to actually put up a fight. They're just as in bed with government as everyone else. They have there's no reason why they should put up a stink, because there's nobody. The number of people that will walk away from these big tech oligarchs because they won't protect their rights is minuscule. It's not even a rounding error of a rounding error in their accounting. So why should they bother? If the American people won't even stand up for their own rights, why should they? It's one of the reasons why we need to find companies and individuals that do care about our rights. You know, it's funny. Back in my IT days, I actually developed a secured storage system that would protect you not only from malicious intrusion, but from companies simply handing over your data because the government asked for it. Funny, I'm having a hard time finding anybody that wants to work with me to patent it and bring it to market. I'm not sure why. But the other thing we find that what happens when you don't protect due process in one area? When we allow things that scare us, you know, health concerns, it's a public health emergency. We must give up our rights because it's a public health emergency. How long do you think it took for those with delusions of power to learn that lesson? To turn climate change into a public health crisis because they've learned that you'll do anything if it's a public health crisis. The American people will roll over and have their rights taken away from them if it's a public health crisis. It's the same reason the CDC director calls gun violence a public health crisis. They've learned, we've trained them, that we will give up our rights if you tell us it's for public health. Where's your evidence of the public health crisis? There is none. There's not a public health crisis with gun violence. There's a violence problem. And almost all those violence problems happen in places with tremendous amounts of gun control. Climate change is not a public health crisis. They've yet to show any significant warming enough to cause anywhere near the damage they've been talking about. And let's face it, more people die from the cold than from the heat. So maybe a little bit of warming is not such a bad idea. They worry about the ice pack melting. Well, I seem to remember my high school physics. If you melt ice in a glass of water, the water level doesn't rise. So the Arctic ice pack won't raise sea level because it's already buoyant on the water. Now, the Antarctic ice pack might have an impact on sea level, but have we seen that? Not worldwide. We've seen changes here and there. And this is with everybody crying that everything is an emergency. So we must take away your, rights. We must take away your right to be secure in your house's papers and effects. We must take away your right to control the property, the fruits of your labor. Because it's a crisis. It's an emergency. And now, if we can just call it a public health crisis, well, I guess the American people will just roll over and play dead. Your right to defend yourself? Oh, no, no, no. You have to depend on government to do that. It's a crisis. It's a health crisis. If you actually want to defend yourself without the government's permission, that's now a public health crisis. So I remember when the CDC was stripped of their authority to do any gun studies for just nonsense like this. Because they're looking to take away people's rights without due process, to deprive them of their liberty, their property, their rights, their freedom and independence without due process, without showing that they individually are a danger. This is not an isolated incident. This has been around for decades. They just figured out that, you know what, if you scare people about their health, they'll do almost anything. They've been trying to scare us about guns for decades. They've been trying to scare us about climate change. I remember when the big thing with climate change was a global freezing. We were going to enter a new ice age. Well, that didn't work out now, did it? But you see, necessity is one thing, but if you can scare people by making it a public health crisis, well, then you'll throw your due process right out the window. You'll do it. You'll submit when your employer does it. You'll submit when the store does it. You'll submit when your government does it. See, what good is your rights if you won't exercise them? And this is just, again, one in a series. See, they've already, governments already are using economic powers to restrict gun rights. How long before they use those economic powers to restrict your other rights as well? Gun stores suddenly were not allowed to get banking services. Their banks dropped them because the ATF bullied them. Credit card companies stopped doing business when the federal government bullied them. What happens when that starts happening to your health care? When the government, which has already illegally assumed the authority to control all the health care insurance in the nation, what happens when they say, oh, by the way, yeah, if you don't get your COVID shot, you're not getting health insurance. It's mandated by your health insurance. Where's your due process then? See, if we're going to wait until this tiger actually bites us in the backside, it will be too late. And then there's this little twist. Now, I'm sure you all heard by now that the FDA has given its approval to one of the Pfizer vaccines. Yeah, well, I found a little interesting information about that. See, they didn't actually go through their normal committee process. Normally, they have full committee hearings that review all the data. No. See, there was a meeting between the FDA and Pfizer and BioNTech. And they reviewed the legacy data, the data preceding the Delta outbreak that we've been dealing with. And they used this data, this false impression of high vaccine effectiveness, which it's clearly been lost in the mutated SARS-CoV-2. The Delta, you know, they've been showing. I talked earlier about how the effectiveness has dropped dramatically. So instead of going through the actual legal process, a process designed to protect the healthy American people, to make sure that vaccines and other pharmaceutical products have been rigorously tested for both safety and efficacy. No. Rather than going through the committee hearing, they simply decided, nope, we're done. We're going to approve it without the committee. Now, interestingly enough, as this one reporter I'm reading from America Out Loud, Pfizer was not granted full approval, but was given a continuance of its EUA. Yet it's been advertised as, oh, they are fully approved, which is important. Because as long as this drug is under an emergency use authorization, there are restrictions on its mandate. It cannot be mandated for the military. You have to be notified that it's an emergency use authorization. You have to be notified of both the benefits and the risks of taking it. There's a bunch of stuff you have to do. Now, the BioNTech was granted conditional approval, but it's required to do more studies. Not for the vaccine's efficacy. No. For some serious safety issues that have come to note, including heart problems. So all this brouhaha, all this information that, oh, yeah, it's been FDA approval. No, it's not. The Pfizer vaccine has not been FDA approved. The BioNTech has been given conditional approval, but they still have to figure out. They don't even know if it's safe yet. There are serious safety concerns that are still being checked out. Which is, again, you're saying, Paul, what does this have to do with due process? Well, I thought we were supposed to have a process that protected the rights of the individual. That does not include the right to be to provide informed consent. Well, how can you provide informed consent when the very regulatory agency that's supposed to protect you from potentially dangerous pharmaceuticals is the very one bypassing their own system to put a potentially dangerous vaccine on the market, one that has shown some serious safety issues, including, by the way, myocarditis. Yeah, and this is what passes for due process in America. See, it's why I personally will not take the vaccine. Now, if you want to take one of those vaccines, be my guest. I still believe in a free country. I still believe in freedom and liberty. You make the decision that makes the most sense for you. You know your medical condition. You know your risk tolerance. You know the risk reward you're willing to put up with. You make the decision. But if someone comes up to my house trying to force me to get a vaccine, they're going to get a very rude awakening. So I will not accept an assault on my body because some bureaucrat says it's necessary. I will not deprive myself of my rights because some bureaucrat with a medical degree has delusions of grandeur and tyrannically says, this is necessary. No, sir or madam, it is not. It is necessary for me to defend myself from people like you. And whether you're dealing with a school board, a county commission, a city hall, a state of insanity, or these idiots in Washington, D.C., we the people are the ones that need to stand up. We are the rightful masters of Congress and the courts. We created these governments, not the other way around. They are there to serve us. We define their just powers. Not they. The fact that these people have gone so far down the road of tyranny and subjugating the American people is, yes, they've done it, but it's our fault for letting it happen. It is the apathy and cowardice of the American people that have let this happen. And it's about time we change that. It's about time we do become those minute men and minute women, willing to stand for the rights of themselves and others at a moment's notice, to rally to the cause, to stand in the face of tyranny and say, no, we will not comply. And we will not leave our friends, our family, and our neighbors defenseless. We will stand. And if you don't like it, you can lump it. Because in America, the people govern. The people rule. The governments serve. And any idiot, be him bureaucrat or elected official, who thinks otherwise, well, they need an education. And we're more than willing to help provide that education. Because when we deal with people like Governor Wolf of Pennsylvania, who simply ignores the science, yes, the science, not what the scientists are saying, the actual science on masking kids, the tyrannical act of someone who doesn't have the data to prove that it's necessary for society. Now, he claims he's got an outpouring from parents and teachers and pediatricians. How about some data, sir? How about before you deprive people of their liberty and their property, you prove that it's necessary, sir? Because the CDC's own data shows that children are the least at risk from COVID-19, including the Delta variant, sir. So to the people of Pennsylvania, whose representatives stripped the governor of his emergency powers, I think it's about time you strip yourself of Mr. Wolf as governor. If he's willing to take away your rights, your liberty, your freedom, your very body on made-up nonsense pseudoscience that's been shown to be wrong more often than not, why do you leave him there? Why do you still put him in a position of trust when he's shown himself to be untrustworthy? This is just one example. I just pick on him because it happened to be a recent news article that even in the face of science, it shows that children K through 12 masks are actually detrimental, not helpful. We still have people like Mr. Wolf ignoring due process, ignoring rights, ignoring liberty, ignoring the law, ignoring his oath of office, ignoring the people of his state, to act like a petty tyrant. Well, it's about time the American people deal with petty tyrants. Oh, not the way some of them say, the cry of John Wilkes Booth after he assassinated Lincoln. No, 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 no. See, in America, we deal with tyrants a very different way. First, we ignore them, and then we remove them from any position of trust. Period. That's all we need to do. We realize that they only have authority over us that we allow. Their only just powers come from our consent. Well, how about we just stop consenting to him mandating children wear masks? Mandating that schools wear... How about we just stop consenting to it? Oh, I know there are those who call me an anarchist and probably even worse. But if our Constitution is true, if you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process, if Alexander Hamilton and Justice Marshall are correct that acts of a delegated authority contrary to the commission are void, well, then we're not the ones misbehaving. We're not the ones that are acting as anarchists. We're the ones upholding the law, the supreme law. And we're just ignoring laws that contradict it because, well, that's what the law says. It's by recognizing the truth. It's why I focus so much on these deprivations, these due process clauses. Because the dirty little secret is, of all the infringements on our rights, these are the ones that both are most pervasive and are most insidious. And the fact that those in our legal system don't recognize this, from justices of the Supreme Court down to lawyers in offices in cities and towns across America, the fact that they don't recognize this shows just what a failure our legal education system is. And the fact that the American people don't recognize it shows that our education system as a whole is a failure, at least at creating citizens that are ready to take on the responsibility of being a citizen in a free country. But we can fix that. It'll take time. It'll take effort. People will call us names. I'm sure some of us will go to jail. Some of us will lose our jobs or lose our degrees or lose our businesses. There'll be a price to pay. But let me ask you, what is the price of not doing anything? What is the price of sitting back and watching tyrants take over? Watching your neighbor's rights being crushed to dust? Watching people being bullied and intimidated into subjugation from an all-powerful government or some overly powerful corporation? What does that cost? Which are you willing to pay? Because ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, the answer is up to you. America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where you can stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And now, you can even listen to the podcasts right there on the app.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail.